Well, I've been asked to speak in this workshop session for 30 minutes, and then there are going to be some breakups into groups to discuss various practicalities. We've enjoyed some great times in the plenary sessions at this conference, but I'm going to address this issue that I've been asked to speak about, the pastor's time. Now, this could apply to missionaries, pastors, elders, anybody in Christian ministry, but it's more concerned with those who are in full-time Christian ministry. I'm not going to go through a lot of biblical references. I'm going to read to you from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, two verses. Verses 7 and 8. You yourselves know, says Paul, how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We did not eat anyone's bread without paying, but with toil and labor we worked night and day that we might not burden any of you. It is true that sometimes people in full-time Christian ministry are not as disciplined as they should be. Everybody has 24 hours, whether you're in secular employment, in Christian ministry, or whatever. We all have the same amount of time each day. Now, what do we do with it? All right, I'm going to make this, as I say, very practical. A lot of it, obviously, is just coming out of my own experience. I'm a reasonably organized person, fairly disciplined in the way I go about things. Other people are not of my personality. We don't want to ape other people. We don't want to just copy other people as if that is some worthy course to follow, or as if we can reproduce ourselves something that somebody else has done. So you have to make some adjustments to the things I'm going to say. But I hope that there's something here for all of us. Each of us have not got to take the easy way out. We do have to make changes, and I hope that every one of us, including myself, can go away from this session today a bit more determined to be wiser in our use of time, to be more disciplined, to get more out of what we are doing. We must somehow have a devotional time. I put this at the top of my list. I like to start the day with a devotional time. That is a time in the Word of God. We all have different routines. My family is now all grown up. We have three children who are all grown up and married. We now have grandchildren, of course, and nobody lives with us. It's just my wife and myself. So our lifestyle is quite different now from what it used to be. When we had three small children in the house, they wake at early hours of the morning and they've got to be got ready for school and other routines. You don't have the luxury that we have now of just my wife and myself being there, and I can please myself how I organize my day. So it wasn't always the case that I was able to have an hour between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock every morning. I like to be started work by 8 o'clock. And I work from 8 o'clock to 6 o'clock. I just grab myself a cup of tea or cup of coffee in the middle of the morning, the middle of the afternoon. I stop for 15 minutes for lunch. But basically I work non-stop from 8 to 6. Now, not everybody's going to do that. Before I start work, before I do anything, I want to have 1 hour of prayer and time in the Word of God. I couldn't do that when I had little children. We had to do things differently. My wife and I had to work out an arrangement as to who was to do this and who was to do that. So we're all different. Now, I know some people who get up very early in the morning. Some get up at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock. I know somebody gets up at 1 o'clock in the morning and has 3 hours. Now, I'm not in that league, to be quite honest. This person has 3 hours in prayer and the Word from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and she goes to bed early. 9 o'clock she goes to bed. I don't go to bed till 11 o'clock, so our routines all change. But we must, all of us, find a time that we set apart between us and God. Now, this is in addition to what I do with my wife. My wife and I pray together. When the family is growing up, when we had our family at home, we had a time of family prayer together for half an hour. When we'd all pray, my wife, myself, and the three children, and we'd all pray for things around the world. We gave a broad vision of the world. We'd have a time of Bible study, not just reading through the Bible, but actually a time of Bible study together, at least 30 minutes every night. So there are times with your family, there are times just you and your wife. But all of us must have a time by ourselves, I believe. Now, how you organize this, you work out yourself. The earlier in the day, the better. Because once the day starts, before you know where you are tied up with all sorts of activity, and then you never get the time for your prayer and Bible reading. I like to do it when I'm not likely to be interrupted at a time in the morning before the day's activities have really got running. That is a good time to do it. Planning the day. Now, many of us don't have a boss. Some people do have a boss. Some people work in an office or an organization where somebody is over them. But many of us, we are the pastor, we are the missionary, we are the person in full-time work, and we don't have somebody telling us how to organize every minute of the day. The problem then is that things get out of control. And I know many full-time Christian workers, listen carefully, I know many full-time Christian workers who are doing in their full-time what other active Christians are doing in their spare time. Because work has the habit of expanding itself into the time available. And if we are not disciplined, we will very quickly find that something that should have taken half an hour has taken 3 hours. We think we're doing God's work, and it's merely ill-discipline. It's a bad use of our time. So that is a warning that many of us in full-time work have got to take notice of. I'm afraid many have got themselves a bad reputation because of what I just said. They are doing in their full-time what others do in their spare time. And then when it comes to their spare time, they don't want to be interrupted. Oh, this is my spare time. I did my full-time work there. But this is my time. Please don't interrupt me. I always have Wednesday nights off. But other people in the church don't have that luxury. They've been out working from 9 to 5 or whatever the working hours happen to be every day. And then they give their evenings or their weekends to the Lord. So the full-time Christian worker must be careful that he is not making demands of other people that he is not fulfilling himself. By that I mean he is not asking other people to use their spare time in the ministry of the church. But his own spare time he doesn't use in the ministry of the church, because his official time has been in the ministry of the church, and his spare time he keeps for himself. In different countries, different things will happen. When I lived in Thailand, in Bangkok, it's a pretty wild sort of a city. It's about 10 million people or something. Once you go out of your house and try to get to some place in town, you finish up ruining most of the day, because it just takes you ages to get from one point to another. So I organized it that I would have certain days out and certain days home. If I was working at home and writing books or preparing, then I would stay home for that whole day doing that work. And if I went out, I would be out all day. I ran a lot of Bible study groups with non-Christians or new Christians. And I tried to group these so that I could do 3 or 4 or 5 in one day. So once you're out, you stay out. When you're home, you stay home. Now, that may not be the case in your country here. Maybe you can have hours within the day that you're out in the mornings for certain times of certain days. Allocating times. And then allocating times as to what is work time and what is your own time. Writing letters, for example, I never considered to be my work. If I wrote letters to friends, well, that's my spare time. I don't do that sort of thing in my work hours. If I've got to fix something on the car or go and buy something, some glue to mend something in the house, that is not my work. That is done in my spare time. So I'd write things on a piece of paper and then I would go out and do them all at once in one day or one morning or one afternoon. Got to be disciplined, otherwise we'll soon find that trivial things eat up our time and it disappears. I had this shown to me very clearly when I was first going out as a missionary, and I stayed in another country on my way through to where I was going. We stayed for a few days with some missionaries there. Each day I saw this man go out and come back and go out and come back, and then one day I said to him, in all honesty, I hadn't even got to my own mission field at that stage. I was just a young person in his mid-20s. I said to him one day, what do you actually do, your work, you know, what you do from 8 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night? And he looked at me and he said, well, you've seen what happens. Oh, he said, in these countries you'll find that before you know where you are, the day's gone, you take so long to do things, things are not organized. And then I saw it unfortunately in other countries as well, that some of these people are just spending their time doing nothing in particular, a lot of bits and pieces that very soon expands itself until the whole day is taken up. And they've worked hard, they're running around, they're zapping here and zooming there, but they've really achieved very little. So that sort of discipline we need to watch. I've got 8 points here I'm just going to run through very quickly. 8 things. Study. Study the Bible. We must constantly study the Bible. I would like to think that if I didn't preach any sermons, I would still be studying the Bible. One of the problems with preachers is they only study the Bible when they have to prepare a sermon, and that is not good. Now, we need time to prepare sermons. If we're going to feed the church properly, we need time, and that should be part of our full time, preparing good teaching to feed the church and stretching our mind. Push a book through your mind. That was an expression somebody used once, very good one. Push a book through your mind. Expand your mind. Constantly stretch your mind and build a fund of knowledge. Don't just study the parts of the Bible that are relevant to your ministry right now. Study the whole of the Bible so that you are prepared no matter what situation arises. You may have no young people in your church, or you may have no old people in your church. You may have no divorcees in your church. You may have no people who are converted criminals in your church. But that doesn't matter. Study every subject that comes across your path. And then when you do happen to meet a person who's a converted criminal, or you do meet a person who's just been divorced, then you are prepared biblically to minister to that person. Broaden your Bible study and constantly expand your mind. Secondly, preparing sermons. I've already touched on that. Prepare long-term and short-term. When I was asked to come to this country for this convention, I was asked 6 months ago, and I started preparing 6 months ago for the talks that I had given in the plenary sessions here. I don't just want to work hand to mouth. You know what I mean by hand to mouth? That is, you do it now and you eat it straight away. I want to build up a fund. I want to build enough material so that I'm not pressured at the last moment, and I have a wide range of ability to handle different topics. So I'm thinking long-term as well as in the immediate future. Do not leave your preparation to the last minute. I never leave preparation to the last week or 2 weeks. I prepare ahead as much as I possibly can. And then, of course, when the last 2 or 3 days come, then you freshen it all up so that you're able to minister what you've prepared earlier. The third thing, time for counselling for people who are in crisis. Make yourself available at home or in the church. Some people are going to be happier coming to the church because it's less personal. Some are going to be happier coming to your home. It depends on what your church arrangements are. If there are other people at the church, people may not want those other people to see them coming for counselling. Then again, that may be the situation in your home. They may not want to be seen there. You will know what is best, but set aside a time when people know that you are available. But also, we must be available any time. A crisis will arise. Don't say, oh, look, I'm sorry, but I only do my actual pastoring between 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock on Thursday. You'll have to come Thursday afternoon. No, we must do it when the crisis arises. But if our program is such, maybe we should have a time available when people know we're there. The fourth point, visitation. Now, I find that you can waste a lot of time in visitation, drinking cups of tea and not doing anything in particular. Now, we must use the visitation wisely. We don't have to go and visit people and give them a little verse from the Bible and then move on. We must make it worthwhile in getting to know people and establishing relationships, but try to do it when both husband and wife are there. I'm very careful about visiting the home of anybody if only the woman is there. Now, we visit a lot of homes of non-Christian people because we have a big outreach through religious education in schools, and we like to visit the families of those children. The families are not Christians. So you knock on the door and maybe the wife will come out and she says, oh, you'd like to come in for a cup of tea. And so I then make an excuse. I say, well, is Ken home, her husband? Oh, no, he doesn't get home till 5 o'clock. And I say, well, look, actually, I've got other things to do right now. Thank you for your invitation. But maybe I'll come back when Ken's here so that I can say hello to him as well. Oh, yes, 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 she'll say. People respond okay if you are fairly relaxed. But it's very dangerous to go into a home. The neighbours all see you. What's the Reverend up to this time? Going into the house of this woman when she's there by herself. So that sort of visiting, you've got to be rather careful. I do a lot of the visiting at weekends. Now, in our country, it may be different from your country. During the week, people are out working. But at the weekends, you get them home. And on Sunday morning, while the Sunday school is running, I ask the children, is Mum and Dad home? They say, yes. That's a time to visit because you know they're home while the children are at Sunday school. Just another word here about counselling. be very careful counselling people of the opposite sex. You know as well as I do that many pastors have got themselves into deep trouble through counselling women, and they get drawn into a relationship that they don't know how to get out of. Many of them have fallen into sin. I'm very, very careful. In the West, the habit, they got this from America, of kissing people. We don't kiss all that much, I suppose, in Australia, but in America, everybody kisses everybody else, and so you kiss people after church. I don't do it. As the pastor, I don't do it. Other people can do it, but I feel that that would be an unwise thing to do, because you maybe open yourself to some sort of temptation. Now, I know there are many countries where people kiss, like in Europe. Many countries where they just this cheek, that cheek, this cheek. It's just natural, and nobody bothers. Okay, I do it in that country the same as everybody else does it. But in my country, it has a different meaning, it has a different significance. Be very careful. Point five is administration. Be efficient. I keep a file of everything. Every sermon I've ever preached, I keep a note of what it is, where it was given. I link it to a Bible verse so that I have two systems. One, I can go through and find it by reference to a biblical verse. The other, I can go through in chronological order and find that I preached it in such and such a place at such and such a time. All the correspondence, all the business, payments of bills, all of that sort of thing. Now, I don't have a secretary. I'm not in a church where there is a staff. Some people have a secretary and a staff, and so you can delegate people to look after those jobs. But I've never had that situation. I've got to do it myself. So administration, keep it tidy and don't spend too much time on it. Number six, business. Don't let it pile up. I try to deal with things immediately and quickly and get them out of the way. If you let it pile up, what should have been 5 minutes' work, you'll find grows into 1 hour. I've heard missionaries say, oh, the correspondence has got so far behind, I spent a whole day just catching up. Well, I think that I would criticise them for that. They shouldn't have let it pile up. And they shouldn't have taken a day off work simply to catch up on their correspondence. They should have dealt with it promptly and efficiently. So the business side of things, we've got to be careful. I am not employed in the service of the church to run business matters. There will be some business things require attention, obviously. In any church, any ministry, there are business things that need attention. But shunt them off, push them off into their right place, and don't let them dominate. Seven, family. Give time to your family. We all know that sometimes the family gets neglected. Well, I just try to make sure that I don't lock myself off from them. We must find ways of having recreation with them. When my boys were at school, I used to try to go down and play cricket with them for an hour. I set myself the goal of trying to do it maybe 3 or 4 days a week. It finished up being once every week or maybe every 2 weeks. They didn't seem to mind, but at least I made sure there was some time where I could go down the park with them at the nets in some local facility, and there we could play cricket or swimming or tennis or whatever it happens to be. Some people have a nap during the afternoon. If you go to some countries in Europe, everything seems to close at certain hours in the afternoon. Everybody has a sleep. They have a different lifestyle. They eat at different hours. They work at different hours. In my country, it's fairly predictable. You have breakfast in the morning, you have evening meal in the evening, and between the two is your work day. That's the way our country operates. So we don't have a siesta or an afternoon nap. I've never practiced that sort of thing. But in other countries, that's the routine. You just do it. But sometimes I'm so tired, I've been late, working, and you're working, working, and you feel yourself dropping off. I simply push my chair back, put my head down on my table, and take 5 minutes cat nap. Or I might just lie on the floor, put my head under the desk and feet sticking out because I've got a very small office, and just have 5 minutes. That's all you need, and then you're brightened up and freshened up, and away you go again. All of those little things. Mainly keep a discipline on yourself so these things don't get out of control. And the eighth thing I've got here is social involvement. I make as many contacts as I can. I'm not a committee person. Some people love to spend time on committees. I'm not that way inclined. But I get involved with local issues, and my wife does too. Local community groups, local community issues, so that I'm part of a secular group that meets to discuss matters that need attention. or a pressure group in the locality that's pressuring the government to give us better facilities for children or whatever it happens to be, or employment. I was part of a group that set up an agency to help find employment for some unemployed people. Any way that we can find to get involved in the community, and so we have to set aside time for that. Make as many contacts as we can over a broad range, and we've got to do it so that we are promoting the gospel at the same time, which doesn't mean we preach a sermon when you go to a meeting of some local group, but it does mean that you let them know that the reason you're giving these views and being involved is because you have a Christian commitment to your fellow human beings. We don't want them just to think, I'm a good person. Oh, he's a nice chap, he's a nice man, he's a good bloke, or whatever the expression happens to be. But we want them to see something for the sake of Christ. So there's just those 8 points about planning your day and planning your time. Well, I've got 5 other things here. I've called hints and dangers. A little hint. Whenever I'm travelling, whenever I'm going anywhere, whenever I have to wait, I always take with me something to read. I always have a pencil in my pocket, have a piece of paper in my pocket here, and a small pencil slip into my pocket, because I can mark things, a pencil, not a pen, rub it out later on. Waiting for the doctor recently at home, I counted 16 people in the waiting room. 11 of those people were just sitting, looking into space, doing nothing. 5 of them were reading a magazine that they had picked up off the table, available for people in the waiting room. I was the only person who had taken a book with me. Later I was at another doctor. There were 8 of us in the room. 6 were looking into space, doing nothing. 1 was reading a magazine off the table. Again, I was the only person that had taken something with me to read. Never waste time. If you travel on a bus or a train, or you're waiting for a minibus, or you're going on a matatu somewhere, or whatever it is, I always take some work to do. Use that time waiting and travelling to read, to think, to plan, and to do some of the reading that you don't have time to do normally. That's my first one. Second, discipline. Well, we've already touched on this. Don't let things get out of control, like going to the bank, having cups of tea, pottering around at home, and doing something where 5 minutes has grown into an hour and you've lost an hour of your time. I've devised a way of reading the newspaper very quickly. You read the headlines and the first 2 paragraphs, or maybe 3, and that will tell you all the news that there is on that story. Don't bother reading the rest. It only just talks about trivial things or repeats what it said at the beginning. You can read the whole newspaper in probably 10 or 15 minutes just to keep yourself abreast with news. I find listening to the radio news, I get more news there than I get from TV or from the newspaper quite often. Third thing, be firm but polite with people who just waste your time. Now, people will waste your time. I see a few grinning, yes. They waste your time, they waste my time. You've got to be gracious, you've got to be kind. They may be really seeking some help, so you've just got to use your judgment. But some people just are a plain nuisance, and you've got to find ways and means of dealing with them, and be firm, and let them know, look, I'm sorry, I really have a lot of work to do. If you want to talk with me about something, then maybe on Thursday afternoon there will be an opportunity, but quite honestly, you've just got to talk your way around it. Not to be rude, and we have to develop relationships, we must be interested in people. Don't just shunt everybody off because you don't want them there. The fourth point here, laziness, trivialities, self-deception, that I think I'm working when actually I'm not. Well, I've covered that point. And the fifth one is invitations to speak and to be on committees. Now, that appeals to our ego, makes us feel good that somebody has invited me to speak. They want me to be on this committee. They must think that I'm pretty good. You must be very disciplined and accept some and not others. I don't have a lot of difficulty in refusing invitations to be on committees because it's just not my scene. There are a lot of other people who are very good on committees. I'm better at doing other things. And even invitations to speak, I've got to weigh them up. So they're just my 5 tips and dangers. At the end of the day, it's not a bad idea sometimes to rehearse what you've done. Other times, I don't bother. But I will admit that quite often, when I get to the end of the day, I just cast my mind back over the day and see what we've achieved. Because sometimes, you may not apparently have achieved very much, But if you've spent it with people in counselling or pastoral, then that's not time wasted. I haven't got as much written or as prepared as I'd like for some special meetings that are coming up. But I've spent the time with a person who is in crisis, who is in need. I had to give that person my time. That is not time wasted. That is valuable time. Other times, of course, you look back and you can think, well, I did waste a bit of time and I shouldn't have really done that. So you can go to sleep. And perhaps you might round it off with a prayer with your wife or your family or by yourself. My wife also, she likes to read herself to sleep. It relaxes her. But reading in bed doesn't relax me. It just wakes up my mind. And so I prefer not to read and go to sleep. Try to get a good night's sleep so that you can get up the next morning and face the day with confidence. Well, there it is, just a few things. And now somebody else is going to come and talk about the workshop discussion groups to follow. Thanks.